This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ia orana to our French Polynesian friends and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy. It's episode 101 of the number one podcast for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinirau Arona. How are we, my friend?
I'm well. Kia orana, Sammy. Kia orana to all our listeners. A big show ahead of us. We have finals footy that will continue this weekend. Two huge games, and in each game, I actually got to represent one of the teams, so Sharkies and Cronulla. So a bit of a emotional attachment there. Sala Tongatuki will join us from the NRLW. She played last night for the West Tigers B team. The was in form Cronulla Sharks. They've lost a couple of
Sharks. Three in a row now, the Sharkies.
Sala copped a knock in this game, so we are hoping that she'll pick up her phone when it's her turn to give us the rundown on all the women's footy news. And fresh out of the hot baths, catching the wild pigs, we have Totai Kefu dialing in from Japan, and he will cover the Pacific Nations Cup finals, which are taking place in his now hometown, Osaka.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm from the Canberra Raiders. You're here listening to Neesian Footy.
Hey, the thing out of the onsens, the hot baths over there, you know how in the with the pools you have the scooper, you know, to pick up all the leaves?
Yep.
You know, in the onsens, they have the same thing for all the, if you shed your hair in the...
Oh.
So you got a little thing where you scoop it all up if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Are you meaning like the, coming out the other end?
Coming out the other end. No, as in not, no, your hair, all over your body. Yeah, your hair there, anyway.
Or you're trying to message, like, decode, I'm trying to decode something else here.
Nah, no decode there. You know what, let's just get into the second week of finals footy. And we'll look at both games this weekend. Sharkies, Cowboys, Sharkies, seven in a row they've lost in finals footy. T, can you give me any hope that your former club can get the job done against the Cowboys?
Well, the Cronulla Sharks, they do take on the North Queensland Cowboys tonight, Friday night, 7:50 p.m. in Sydney. Now, my heart, it's strange when I'm looking at both these games over the weekend because my heart says one is for one team, but you look at the other team and you just see danger signs. So I'll start with the Sharks. I really hope for Craig Fitzgibbon, an old assistant coach of mine, and also Nico Hines and the players at Cronulla Sharks, that they get this win because they deserve it. You know, it's been, what you mentioned, seven finals games, double knockouts. You know, they make the finals, have a huge season, make the finals, and then out. So for their sake, I really hope that they do get a good performance and get the W. But I think for the Cowboys, they just got big time players right across the board. I counted six current Origin players. You've also got big Jason Domololo there. Just threats right across the Cowboys team. So when they're on, they're hard to beat. But we've also seen them this year struggle at sometimes where they miss the beat sometimes. So you never know. Like I said, my heart's for one team, but the threat's always on the other.
What Neesian player do you think needs to stand up for the Sharkies to really get them on that front foot and lead so they can, you know, go off the back of that player?
Yeah, I've got a couple key matchups for both teams, actually. So first, with the Sharks, I'm going to go with Tongan Siosifa Talakai. He's starting the center. I think him versus Cook Island Valentine Holmes, they're on the same edge. You know, we've got Talakai that has that power. You've also got Holmes that has that agility and experience. But I think them two, they're going to have moments, whether it's Val's kicking game or him stepping and catch passing, you know, creating tries on the outside. But then Talakai, that power game, running straight over or getting the sets started for the Cronulla Sharks, getting that momentum started. And then you look at the forwards. I've got Samoan International and Tongan Oregon Kafusi. And then we've got the Tongan International and legend Jason Taumalolo. Now, you've got youth versus experience here. So Oregon Kafusi, he's only 25 years old, and you've got Jace, 31 years old. Oregon's played 114 games, and Jace has played 274. So youth versus experience, both going at it. It's going to be one to really watch out for.
Yeah, that's
these
a
two
hell of a matchup. Yeah, nice.
So who are you tipping?
Oh,
it's a tough one.
It's a tough one because I'm looking at finals form, and then they've gone out straight sets, and you go, surely they can't do it again 3 years in, or 4 years in a row, whatever it is, 3 years in a row. And then I look at the Cowboys; they've had pretty good success in finals footy. You know, when they've been a smoky and they've come through, they've played well at the back end. But
and remember too, both Cronulla Sharks and the Roosters, they're coming off losses.
Yeah,
whereas the other two are coming off wins. So there will be some momentum, some confidence that will play a role here as well.
I'm going to back the Sharkies in this time. I'm going to back them in.
Great call.
Yeah,
my heart's saying Sharkies, but like you've lost many houses.
Yep.
This season,
my tipping is the deficit is 11.
Yeah, well,
so maybe don't go with my choice if you're listening out there.
In the other match, Saturday night, 7:50 p.m. Also in Sydney, we have the Sydney Roosters versus the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. Now, these teams always have a physical battle. You know, they've got a great rivalry. I think back in 2013 when I was at the Roosters and those games where they played the Manly Sea Eagles, geez, they were physical and they were one in the back end, the last few minutes of the game. But you look at the Roosters, still a few injuries, a few boys carrying knocks. They've lost their all-star half back there, but I still think they have enough to get the job done. I'd love to see Cook Islander Joey Manu get early ball, because every time he has the ball in his hands, something happens. You know, he's a genuine threat. Also, Nalfahu White, the way that he played the Panthers, he come off the bench and he changed the momentum in the middle, the way that he carried the ball. So those two, I think, for the Roosters to have a big game, these two should really need to step up and get Joey Manu the ball. For the Manly, you know, they've got Tom Trbojevic, who's carrying that shoulder injury, but geez, they've got some big forwards. They've got Taniela Paseka, who's had a huge season, and then you've also got the big Tongan Hamole Olakau'atu. He's just been unreal. Also, you know, played Origin this year, so them two, really big performance, but then they've also got their halves pairing, Luke Brooks, Daly Cherry-Evans. On top of that, speaking of Daly, they've also got the two State of Origin captains in their team with Daly and Jake Trbojevic. So plenty of experience, plenty of leaders in that team as well.
Do you go to Olakau'atu early? Do you go to him early and just pepper that right side? He's on the right edge, is that right?
He's on the right, yep. Yeah. The way that he played last week, man, he was physical. He was making breaks. Did I say you made 6 or 10 tackle breaks last week against the Bulldogs? So Roosters have got their, you know, a big challenge ahead of them. In this one, I think Fords v Fords, there's a big battle that's going to be happening. Whoever wins that Fords battle is a big chance of winning this game. You look at the Ford pack, you've got Jared Ware Hargreaves, who's making his comeback from his many suspensions. You've also got Queensland front rower Lindsay Collins, and then you've got, you know, Angus Crichton, Satili Tupanua, and then I mentioned Nalfahu White. On the other end, you've got Taniela Paseka, Matthew Lodge. Bro, Matt Lodge actually goes hard. So Lodge, Collins going at it, Hamole Olakau'atu, Jake Lorden, and Jake Trbojevic. So that battle there, that's going to determine, you know, who gets that early momentum.
I'm sure. So whoever wins that game, do you know who they play in the which?
Yep.
Who do
so
they play?
So the winner of this game, they will be playing Melbourne Storm, and the winner of the Cronulla Sharks and the Cowboys, they will be playing the Penrith Panthers next week.
I'm sure both those teams will be making sure or hoping that they bash each other, and it comes down to a tight game, goes into overtime, because man, there's a reason why the grand final winners always come from that team that has the week off, because it's going to be tough to back that up.
Well, before I quickly move on, I mentioned that Fords battle. The thing that Roosters have, they've got Terrell May, Spencer Lenu coming off the bench. So they do have some reinforcements to make a change and make an impact. So another big game to look forward to. I will say Manly are going to be hard to beat, but I'm going to say Roosters should have enough to get the job done.
That's I reckon the Roosters get it done as well with you.
And remember, Sammy, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, we have the Raiders Player of the Year is Joseph Tapine for the third year running. Jeez, he's found some form, the kid, and he's also been announced as their captain for 2025. Cool fella. The way that he said his speech, he acknowledged the past leaders and his family. Really proud of him.
Well, that's quite early to announce your captain. Like, you think about it, it's not even usually, you know, when you go through your preseason, they might announce it, but they've just, that's pretty good from Ricky and the team to get, you're our man moving forward. So, I actually love that decision.
Well, I think he's probably been a big leader of theirs for the last few years, so it only just makes sense.
Makes sense,
and,
yeah.
He can start preparing himself as well as a captain leading into preseason and understanding the role that he'll have to take. So
yeah, good
I
point.
Know that he'll handle that with, you know, with ease. I think he's just a natural leader. It's also been reported, Sammy, that the Australian government is backing a 10-year, $600 million funding to make PNG the 19th team in 2028. It's apparently there will be an official announcement after the grand final. But, geez, that's big news for PNG, Sam.
Yeah, give some money to the PNG rugby team then. You know, just a lazy $5 million, something, just to get them back into the fold. That'll be great. But, yeah, beautiful news for PNG people, rugby league mad.
Well, when you think of PNG, what players stand out to you?
David Mead straight away.
The legend, David Mead. So he wrote a Facebook status as soon as he heard this news, and he quotes, "According to Fox Sports, PNG is set to be announced as the 19th NRL team in 2028. If I'm 12 to 18 years old, training starts 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to make that NRL squad." What a legend. Spoken like a real professional.
Spoken like a true coach, I think. Future coach, future
GM.
GM, something. He'll have some involvement. You'd be silly to keep him out of that.
He's a legend. I love David Mead. So well done, PNG. If it comes through, I'm looking forward to following that team.
Yeah, Meady, we've had him on the show before, so make sure you go back to your podcast, wherever you get your podcast, listen to that chat. He'll give you an inside into that and how hard he works.
Speaking of PNG, Sammy, the men's and women's Prime Minister's 13s match has been announced, and that will take place on Sunday, October the 13th in Port Moresby. So the Australia Prime Minister's team taking on the PNG Kumuls and the PNG Orchids. Hopefully we see Shelley Long.
Shelley Long in there in the back row.
Out there. And then the very next week, the Pacific Championships kick off. So big news, heaps of news there for PNG. And in other news, we have Josh Schuster, the Samoan international. He has been given a lifeline at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Wayne Bennett has signed him on a one-year deal. So interesting to see how he goes under the great man, the wizard, Wayne Bennett.
I believe he was playing some footy with Corey Norman and that in the Group 6 competition down in Camden. That competition down there, still staying fit. So I'm sure Wayne would have been keeping his eye on him playing down there to make sure that he's made the right decision. But if anyone can turn his career around, it's him.
Yeah, one thing I know about Wayne is that he brings out the best of his players. And speaking of his players, your cuz, Isaiah Katoa, he has reportedly turned down New Zealand. And does that mean he represents Tonga in the Pacific Championships this year?
Do you want the inside scoop?
I want. Give me the inside scoop, mate.
He didn't reply back to my message.
That doesn't surprise me one bit, mate.
Nah, I had to ask him. I did actually ask him if we were related to Eli Katoa from the Storm, and he said no, we're not. So
no relation.
There's three Katoas out there. No relations, but from my understanding, I know he loves playing for Tonga. His grandmother, who we've played some audio, remember, come on, the band first. Remember that audio that we did? You had to guess what she said. I don't think she would allow him to play for New Zealand, even though he was born there. But his grandmother means so much to him. So while she's still kicking around, I reckon he'll be playing for Tonga.
I like how you dropped that little hint in Eli Katoa. If for all our listeners, if that's a little hint on
who we could potentially
be getting on our show, the great man who is absolutely killing it down at Melbourne. Hopefully we hear
we can get him on
story here on Nijan 40. Well, that's everything done in the rugby league news, Sammy.
Well done, T. Plenty happening in rugby league. And we're going to head over to rugby union news, and obviously we'll get to the great man Tota Kefu for a bit more of an inside scoop than what I deliver. But hey, we're going to start with Fiji rugby issues. It's come out this week that there was an internal standoff before the Fiji game when they played England at the Rugby World Cup last year, just based around player payments. Former captain Waisea Naithalevu has gone public with claims that they threatened to boycott the game and not play as they wanted to make sure their full payments, including their bonuses, were paid prior to playing. That was before, the World Cup, one of their biggest games against England.
Former captain Waisea, is he part of the coaching staff or is he just...
No, he's still playing now.
Oh, sorry, so he's still part of the playing group.
He's still part of the playing group. He didn't play in this Pacific Nations Cup. He plays over in France. He's a centre. He's a beast. He's given 10 years, service playing to Fiji. Yep. So if someone like him... as a leader, he's coming out publicly saying this. Obviously, it means a lot that this gets resolved. And it looked like the Fijian government had to step in and make sure it was resolved and players were paid. But FBC is reporting that Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka, has raised concern about the administration within Fijian Rugby Union. And, this is an ongoing issue that happens not only in Fiji, but it happens all across the Pacific. And
not only in rugby union too, also
in rugby league,
rugby
exactly.
League, it happens,
all sports really. And we think about the movement that's happening with players wanting to play for their country of heritage and represent their families, especially the ones that are born here in Australia or New Zealand, that they want to represent and know their culture. But as soon as they keep continuing to hear these type of stories, it's only going to deter the players to go, you know what, I'm just going to stay playing for Australia or New Zealand or choose England or France and those countries.
It turns them off. Their culture, their heritage, their bloodline. And it's upsetting to see when you see these stories.
It is. And so, we look at it from a governance point of view. It always comes down to that. There has to be that balance of, okay, how do we help our nations in country, in the tiny island? So you create jobs and you create opportunities from an
pathway
on the admin side of things. But at the same time, you have to have that business acumen from people that have, been there and done it from, our countries like Australia, New Zealand, and prepping and guiding them, educating our people in those areas so we don't have these issues moving forward. And then that when that gets out of the way, mate, it is a genuine chance that these teams could win World Cups if that gets sorted. Hopefully it does happen. And it looks like in the sevens space, there's movement towards that. In good news, the Fijian government has paid Fiji Rugby Union $20,000 per player as the Fijian sevens won silver at the Paris Olympics. So even though there's some not so good news on the 15-a-side front, on the 7-a-side, that's happened. So hopefully there's more positive steps forward in that space for the players so we can start limiting the noise there and just focus on the on-field performances leading into their game this week. They've got a big game against Japan, the Fijians. Hopefully they get the job done there.
We'll see who Tota Kefu picks.
Be interesting.
Between these two, eh?
He's living there, so that could have an influence in his decision. So we'll see what happens there. For the Wallabies, and we're going to get into Tota, I think. I watched these clips on social media last night about Torai's involvements. He was a beast. Honestly, he jokes around and stuff like that and sort of plays it off. Yeah, scored the winning try, but mate, some of the effort areas that he had around, chasing down Christian Cullen, cover tackles, late footwork, beating Tana Umanga, getting the fend away and getting an offload away. He was massive in that game for the last time they ever won the Bledisloe Cup. So when I watch that, I just think, man, it's a privilege to be able to talk to that guy every Friday.
And to have him here on Nijan Footy every Friday. When you first got him on the show, I won't lie, I was like, oh, Tota Kefu, I've heard that name before. But it wasn't until I asked you, I go, is this Tota Kefu that in Sydney you know, when we were growing up, there was the Kefu Cup.
Yeah.
And the boys would ask us to, all us leagueies, to jump in this team that, in this rugby union competition that was held in Parramatta in Sydney. And we'd play in this tournament called Kefu Cup. And I was like, is that Totai Kefu, like Kefu Cup? And he goes, yeah, that's his cup. I'm like, oh, okay, so he is the man. Yeah.
Do you know the funniest thing about those cups? When they entered the under-14s team and you're running out there and you look at the other team, like Mount Jordan, it's like, bro, that guy's not 14. he is 100% 17 years old. And that's what happened. When they threw their 17-year-old, we threw our 17-year-old on. And it just ended up being this game of like, you're either a man or a mouse in that one. I chose to be a mouse plenty of times. But so we'll talk to him about the Wallabies and how they may fare against the All Blacks and the Bledisloe. It's great to see Hunter Paisami back with the Wallabies after recovering from his hamstring injury. They're going to need him in the midfield with Len Ikitau. And we've got some punch off the bench too. Lungi Gleeson, he needs to, you know, come on and make a massive impact. And we also see Alan Alaalatoa as well in the front row. So, yeah, there's a big Pacifica presence in the Wallabies team. I think there's 10 out of the 23 in there. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him this game because the All Blacks are wounded. They're coming off a week off. And they're coming to Sydney where they've had a pretty good track record there. So we'll see what happens there with that one. We also news Fijiana. They lost 12-10 to the Netherlands. Didn't even know the Netherlands played rugby. It's not good news there for Fijiana after, you know, a lot of positive work and
what was the score?
12-10.
Only 2 points.
Yeah, but it's the Netherlands. What are they known for? Soccer, is it?
Football, yeah.
Yeah, soccer, yeah. Football. There you go.
And hockey, is it?
Hockey. Oh, ice hockey, is it?
Hockey. Normal hockey.
You're all over it, T. But the Wallaroos, they'll be looking to bounce back against Wales before their WXV2 starts. And in other news, big news, it seems like the Adi Savea effect is alive and well.
It's attracted
more players. Patrick Pellegrini's gone there. Now, Pone Fa'amausili, Wallaby, Melbourne Rebels player, he has signed over with Moana Pacifica. And I'm not sure when his last test match was for the Wallabies, but I guess if he stays there for another couple of years, potentially he could be in a Manu Samoa jersey in the future. So that's big news for Pone.
Huge news and plenty more rugby chat when we get to Totai Kefu, but let's head over to Sala Tongatuki to cover all things women's footy.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we have our Fetu Samoan representative, New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki, off the back of 2 wins in a row for
Hallelujah.
The West Tigers.
Hallelujah.
Congratulations, Sala. It's been a long season, I know.
Look at the smile on her face. She is the bottom lip was dragging on the floor there for about 10 weeks.
Sulking. Since she lost the Origin Series, been sulking. I'm like, come on, surely. How's it been? How have you felt over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, just honestly pure joy. And happiness was definitely the theme the last couple of sessions for us girls. We know the season was coming to an end and we had nothing to lose but to just really play and put some respect and pride back into the jersey and into ourselves as well. I know we've got such a talented bunch of girls and they just killed it last night. I'm proud of them.
When you talk about happiness, what does that look like in preparation when a coach talks about, I want you to be happy?
Honestly, I think it was just the girls not just like believing in themselves. I know it can be a bit tough with when we had like loss after loss and you know no one like tends to really want to turn up, but I was just really proud of the girls just really showing up and they played to the last game and yeah I guess we just kept improving as the season was coming to an end. So unlucky, I wish it was a bit longer the season, but just glad we got the 2 wins and ended it on a high.
I'll start with last week. Geez, the conditions didn't help, but the gritty performance, the way you girls won beating the Dragons, but the thing that really caught myself and Sammy's eye was the emotions after the game. Tell us how, you know, when all the girls were hugging each other, we did see a few tears. What was that feeling like for yourself?
Yeah, because, like, we know that we were just being doubted after those couple of losses. And it's like, I feel like, you know, people sort of say not to us, but made us feel like we were not meant to be there in this NRW. And just having that first win, and I know the girls, like, just the last couple of minutes, because we knew Dragons were getting penalty after penalty, and they were just like, you know, getting closer to their try line. And the look on each other's faces, I would not forget it. We looked at each other and we were like, oh, honestly, like, just 1 minute. Like, you know, we're so close to that win. And I know it's an ugly win, but it's a win at the end of the night for us. And, yes, the girls are crying. Like, yeah, just like I said, just pure joy. And I know the girls are still happy this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the confidence from that game, like, I think just the win from that game just gave the girls a lot of confidence to just go to training, enjoy the last week, and, you know, sort of brought memories back as well. Like, we were sort of reminded of the players that are departing as well. And I guess that game last night was a sort of like a one last ride kind of story for us, to send out the parting players off. And then we're just all just really happy.
You spoke about that moment where you are defending that line. There's 1 minute left. You all look at each other in the eye and you hang in there. Those moments like that, for me, that's what creates those bonds and friendships and relationships that last a very, very long time. So well done. And I know you finished the season strong last night against the Cronulla Sharks. Were there any celebrations after the game?
Yeah, no alcohol though, but a lot of Powerades and just waters. And the girls were just like throwing it around, singing the team song. We didn't get to sing the team song much this season, and we made the most of it, the last two games, getting those wins. And yeah, it felt really nice. And I think, the girls are just looking forward to just celebrating the season now, which they call Mad Monday. Ours is Mad Friday at the minute. So.
Are you on your way there now?
No, I'm not. Not till this afternoon, really. So, yeah, I know we'll be having some fun, but we'll stay sensible too.
With the team song, you mentioned you haven't sung it in a while. There's some new players in that team. Did the song sheet have to come out to remember the lyrics and sing it that way, or did everyone know it off by heart to be able to just belt it out?
I wouldn't say know it off by heart. And no team sheet was out. But I think it helped that we had teammates like that were sidelined, like the twins, the Curtin twins. They're diehard Tigers fans, and they're the first ever players that actually went through West Tigers pathways and became NRW players through that. And they just know the team song off by heart, and they led the chant. If you see the team song, they're the ones that are banging the drums and that on our eskies. And the girls just went by what they were saying. And we made sure that we're saying it with a lot of proudness and heart. So, yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Throughout this whole season, you've spoke with this belief, and you've said every week, the girls have it in. The girls have it in them. It's just around the corner. Unfortunately, it was 6-7 games too late. But do you think that if that form and that belief came a bit earlier, you'd be in a different position and you'd be looking to play in finals footy?
Oh, 100%. It took a couple of position shuffles in it to sort of find, the right combo. And I guess that's what, like, for us, we've got a lot of young, young guns and that were coming up. And Noddy just gave them the chance. And those girls shown what they're capable of. And I know that these two wins now, it's going to give them so much confidence when they go into, the next preseason and when we come back together. Hopefully next year it's a different season for us.
At least you get to look at that last game and review it and know that you do belong in that competition and hopefully get off to a better start. Tash Penatani, Tiana Penatani, what was that like after the game? Did you get to see anything there? Did they go to each other and hug? Was mum?
I think there was a couple of runs Tash made and T was in there, tackling her own little sister, but I know that Tati, she'd be so proud of her little sister anyways, and regardless of the result, she knows how hard she's worked to, just make teams, the team list consistently. I know Tasha's not had it easy, and I'm just proud of her too. Like, even at the end, they acknowledged each other really well, as like any other sibling would. It was just nice to see those two just, hug it out. I think Tasha's just hoping that her sister goes through to the finals still, now that Tasha's well done. So hopefully, she could be in the stands and support her sister all the way.
Well, Salah, congratulations on your season. I know it's been a tough ride for you, but you know the way that you held it together, the way that you led the girls, and then to finish the season with two wins, it's a testament to your hard work as well. So congratulations, and I know that you've still got pack champs coming up. Any chance of seeing you in the blue jersey?
Yeah, I've been approached so many times, and I'll never say no to the jersey. I've also got aspirations of putting another jersey on, and ooh, I probably don't have to say that out loud. But honestly, it's all in God's timing. And if I don't get to, you know, pull on the jersey that I've been dreaming of for a long time, 100%, I'll be putting my hands up for the Samoa jersey. But, like, I just couldn't give an answer yet because I wanted to get through the season first, and I wanted to just do the job for, you know, the club and the girls, you know, take one game at a time. And, yeah, I guess the win now comes to the end, and all I have to do is just really sit with my family and take on board their advice and, you know, what they think and how they'll be supporting my decision, my dreams. And I know that they'll back me all the way. But, yeah, we'll see how we go in the next, I think it's 2 weeks or a week until they sort of confirm selections and stuff like that. So,
Nice. You follow your heart, and whatever jersey you do end up wearing, you know that you have our full support here in Nisian Footy. So, we're absolutely always in your corner.
Yep.
Now, looking forward to this weekend, NRLW, which game stands out for you?
I've got the Roosters and the Eels game. I think this game's probably one of those games that you want to expect an upset. Roosters have been, you know, recently informed team, and I know that they probably struggled with some of their big key players, like Taryn Aiken, and I think Izzy was possibly a player that wasn't, she's been named, but she was suspected with an injury at the back end of last week's game. And I know that they've named Olivia Koenig as vice-captain, probably just to, I'm not sure, that's to sort of manage Izzy in case someone else needs to step up and lead. But I think this game is going to be really good. Para have probably been the underdogs this season. And, Elsie Albert and Tessa Poulette, I think that will be a great key matchup. I've been liking Tessa coming off the second row into the middles, and yeah, just her footwork and just her, like, yeah, she's just so good in the middle. And I think her and Elsie will go really well. So
Salah, if the Knights lose to the Cowboys and Parramatta have the huge upset over the Roosters, which I think is possible, Parramatta will then jump the Knights and make the top four and be playing finals footy. That is
They've done
huge.
It before. They've done it before. Like, literally, just by luck that it came down to this exact similar reason, and they just ended up making the top four. I think, actually, I was a part of the team that lost to them, and then they ended up going through. So,
you know this all too well.
You've got these, thoughts are haunting you. These feelings are coming back out. What a game. That is a huge game, and thank you for raising that one. Who are you tipping?
I want to go with the upset. Like, I'm all for that, and you guys know me on that. And honestly, like, Power, like, everyone's really not giving them a chance, and I would love to see them go into, you know, finals footy. It's just unlucky to the other team, whoever doesn't. But, yeah, if they don't get the win, I know that they'd still be acknowledged for the season they've had. They've been great to watch, honestly, from the start, so all the best of whatever team wins.
Yeah, we'll definitely chat finals footy next Friday.
Thank you again, Salah. We won't keep you any longer because I know you have a huge Mad Friday to prepare for.
Although it's because you had 12% on her phone.
Only 12%.
So make sure 8%.
8% now.
You go make sure you go charge your phone before you head out with your teammates, because I bet your partner won't be happy if it's dead, because
when the shoe's on the other foot,
we've copped it a number of times.
Oh, goodness. Hopefully it's the same in the NRLW space, that's for sure.
I hope your partner's listening.
You go and enjoy yourself, Salah, and we'll see you next Friday on Nisian Footy.
No worries. See you then.
Later. Thanks,
Salah.
Hey, guys. Valentine Holmes here from the Cowboys. And you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Culture Shock.
Yes, our culture shock, where we island hop, learn about our different Pacific nations and our heritage and try and shock our audience and ourselves included. Last week we went to Kiribati and we talked about the land purchase in Fiji just in case the sea levels rise too high for them and they've got 6,000 acres, I think it was, T. Was that right?
Something like that, but then you ended up passing on this hard one.
Yeah, what are we doing this week for you? Forgot.
You sent it to me, so what was it?
That's right, the Australian Pacific Island culture, diaspora. Is it diaspora or diaspora?
I don't even know what diaspora means. So when you said that, I was like, oh, man, this guy's just making stuff up now.
Don't ask me to spell it. Whatever you do, aspirin. Don't ask. We just don't need aspirin. Diaspora, he needs an aspirin.
Well, yeah. I got something for you, Sammy.
Talk to me.
Do you know when your first family member moved to Australia?
That's actually a really, really good question. It was my grandmother and my three aunties, I think, and my mum and that as well. But nah,
do you
can't
know
remember.
What roughly, what year would that be?
I would say it would be early 80s.
Early 80s?
I think it was.
Okay, well, the first recorded Tongan to arrive in Australia was in the early 19th century, so it was in 1802. But here's the thing that's going to shock you. Guess what his name is? Tongan man, guess what his name is?
John Smith.
If you think, you will get it. Tongan name.
I'll go Sione.
Sione, no, one more.
Okay. It's got to be from the Bible. Nah, got nothing.
Well, the Tongan man was named, first recorded to arrive in 1802. His name was Hopoate.
No way.
His name was Hopoate.
Oh, sort of, right? John Sione.
He was brought to Sydney by British missionaries after the HMS Kolkata. But yeah, he was brought by Australian missionaries.
Hopoate, yeah.
And his name was Hopoate.
Did they land in Manly? Was Manly Seagulls around at the time?
Probably, and he's most probably related to all the Hopoates playing NRL.
That's why they're so good. That's why they're so good, the
Hopoate
at rugby league. They've just been blessed right from the get-go here in Australia. That's unreal.
When I seen that, I was like,
where did you find that?
Our mate.
Chad, again.
our mate Chad.
Oh, well done, T. Well done. That's outstanding. You've definitely shocked me. I'm sure our listeners will be shocked as well. Where are we going to next week?
We haven't been to Wallace and Futuna in a while, so let's head over
French
there.
French Polynesia.
Wallace
Perfect.
And Futuna, you're up next week, Sammy.
All right, done.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby, Queensland Reds and Ikale Tahi legend, Totai Kefu. Kefs, it's iconic hearing that intro, especially this time of the year. Bledisloe Cup, how good?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people actually get in touch with me this week about the Bledisloe, and you know, they sent me snippets of that try. The form's not too good leading into it, but you know, Bledisloe Cup is different, isn't it? Everyone rises to that, so hopefully the boys can do us proud.
When's the last time the Wallabies held the Bledisloe?
2002.
Wow.
It's been that long. And everyone had a 3210, I think it was, the Nokia phone. That's when that was around. That's when it was manufactured. So there was that post going around. This was the last time the Wallabies held the Bledisloe when that phone was released. You mentioned the try, but there was a clip going around on socials. There was more to your performance than just that one try. Like, you were everywhere in that game, line breaks, covering tackles. Do you remember your preparation leading into that game?
Not really, but my preparation's always usually the same. I'm quite relaxed, actually. I find a little corner in the change room. Me and Georgie Smith are actually quite very similar. We're quite relaxed. We like to have a chat. And we chat about anything, really. We the last thing we actually talk about is the game. Some people like to zone in about the game. You know, this is my role, this is that, I've got to do this. I remember Georgie and I are quite totally different. You know, we're at the other end of the spectrum where, you know, we'd probably talk about who won on the races that day or all the stuff.
Where are we going after the game?
We think about anything but the game.
Yeah, I was the same. As long as you tick the boxes throughout the week, mate, all the work's already done. Now you just go out and enjoy yourself and try not to think about the game too much leading into it. But the Wallabies versus the All Blacks, being born in New Zealand, it was those games that you really looked forward to watching and you'd wake up early in the early mornings to watch if it was played overseas. What was it like playing the ABs? What are the ABs like?
Look, it was a different time. Like, I remember every time we played in New Zealand, we could hardly leave the hotel because, you know, people would just bloody come at you about bloody All Blacks are going to smash you. They knew every player in the team. You know, they would hound you. So we would be we'd be limited just to our hotel. Very few. We would leave the hotel very few times. You know, as a team, we'd always obviously go to training and that, but it was everywhere. It was in the papers, it was in the media, it was on the TV, and people would just bombard you if you went out in the streets. So, you know, they all knew you. They all knew the team, the reserves, and all that kind of stuff. So, it's a very different time. You could walk down the middle of Auckland these days, and no one would know you. So, So back then, it was awesome. That was the cauldron that and rugby was so popular back then. You know, I wouldn't know half the Australian team now, to tell you the truth. But it's just a different time.
Thanks for the support, Kev.
What about for yourself? You know, being Tongan, having brown skin and representing Australia, would you cop it a little bit more than your other teammates during that time?
Oh, not really. I was one of very few Tongans at that time to come through and play for the Wallabies. So it was strange in that way, but I didn't cop much flack for it. You know, there were pioneers before me. Willie O went before me. You know, there was a couple of Fijians as well that played before me. But I was left alone. Different times, you know.
Yeah, what one thing before we move on to the Pacific Nations chat with the grand final. You know, when I think of the All Blacks probably prepping for the Wallabies, when you were playing, like, there was probably genuine fear or intimidation. It was like, we need to watch out for Kefs, we need to watch out for George Smith and those type of players. Now, do you feel like the All Blacks even worry about who's playing in the Wallabies jersey?
Yeah, that's a bloody good point, because we had a little bit of mana about our team, and the boys, you know, we had Owen Finnegan and George Smith. In the backs, we had, you know, likes of Tim Horan, Daniel Herbert, real superstars and guys that would, people that would put the fear in the opposition. Probably not the same these days, but yeah, that's the way it was back then. And to run out with players like that, mate, you felt 10 foot tall.
Well, mate, hopefully they can get the job done and at least get one hand on that cup and then take it to the next game. But let's move over to the Pacific Nations Cup last weekend. We'll start with Tonga. They got off to, I mean, they finished their campaign on a high, winning against Canada. What did you think of that game?
Yeah, you can tell the conditions were quite balmy. Really, it was hot. It was bloody hot here at that time. But good for the team to get a win. Especially at the end of this campaign, and hopefully take some confidence into the spring tour overseas in Europe at the end of the year. Look, they deserve it. And those players, you could see it was quite a messy game. There was a lot of turnovers, a lot of drop balls, a lot of mistakes. But look, you got to give it to those boys. Like I said in the earlier chats, half of these players were all club players. And look, they did a fantastic job to get the win and get the campaign finished on a good note.
Yeah, it's good to see the smiles on their face. And then we go Fiji, USA, probably not the attacking performance they were looking for, but defensively they were outstanding.
Yeah, well, I thought USA did well to kind of hang in there, but again, when you give the Fijians too much space, they've got their big backs, athletic backs, who are just powerful ball runners. That's their strength, and that's what Japan have to try and counter. So tomorrow, if they can stop those guys defensively, I reckon they're in with the show.
When you think of Japan's performance against Samoa, like the stats probably told a different story where Samoa held the possession, the territory. You know, what is it about the Japanese that know how to probably get the job done against some of our island teams?
Yeah, well, I spoke to Eddie during the week and I'm going to watch a game tomorrow. He's trying to implement a really fast game into the Japanese. They were already bloody fast anyway, but they're trying their quick ball, the speed of ball, the speed of play. So they're trying to get really high tempo game, quick rucks, move the ball around quickly. That's going to be their profile for the next couple of years. So if Fiji can slow the game down a bit, I think they're in with a chance to get their big bats and forwards rolling around the corner and running at the Japanese.
Just on that, so you think it's important, like defensively for Fiji, what they've shown so far in this tournament, that's going to play a massive part in trying to get that victory against Japan?
Yeah, I think that's one area that they're going to try and target is the ruck, to slow the ruck speed down. But also the set piece, I think, is the other area where they're going to really target and just disrupt Japan's source of the ball.
Who do you think is going to take this one out, Fiji or Japan?
Well, it's a 7 o'clock game. It's going to be quite sweaty. Japan by a little score, like maybe by seven. But I think it's going to be a really interesting game.
Is that just because you spoke to Eddie Jones the other day? Or
the Fijians were actually training at our ground this week, and they were supposed to. They were using our gym and our training grounds. They were supposed to do gym a couple of days, but they cancelled that, and they didn't end up doing gym. Chap boys couldn't believe how they just changed their schedule. You know the chaps, they love bloody schedule. Yeah. They cancelled gym twice, and the chap boys couldn't believe it. I said, well, have a look at the size of them. They don't need to do any more gym.
What about this one? Just on the Fijian, with their preparation, again, it's almost like on repeat when we hear some of the off-field stuff around player payments, around the governance of the nations. You know, their former skipper has come out and just said, you know, they're almost going to boycott their game against England if their payments didn't come in. But why does this keep happening?
Oh, look, I've encountered this a lot of times during my tenure as a head coach, and it's a tough one because, you know, the players, they put their trust in the governance and the administration. And look, I don't know much about it, but I can talk from my own experience. We've always had issues about paying players on time, and the banking system in Tonga is so bloody old that it takes a while for money to come through. And look, you can see the arguments on both sides, but you know, I think something like this should be left, you know, probably on the quiet side. No one needs to know this. I know it's kicked up a bit of storm on social media, but disappointing to see it.
Yeah, it's not nice, and hopefully they get it sorted. But last question before we head off from me: any more wild pigs drop by your life?
No, I'm actually we're in Tokyo for a couple of days. We got an opposed session this morning. We're in a nice hotel down on Tokyo Bay, so no bush pigs around here, which is great. We head back to Osaka this afternoon, and obviously heading to the game tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
Have you got the box tickets ready to go?
No, it doesn't work like that, Wikesy. I've had to call in a few favours just to get normal tickets to the stand, mate.
Oh, mate, I feel sorry for you. Getting normal tickets.
Pull the wallet out, mate.
This bloke bloody parts the Red Sea all the time when he walks down the streets in Queensland. Only thing he pays for is petrol over there, but different story over there, is it, Kev?
No, it'll take a while, mate. Give it time and I'll change the name to Kef Tetsu.
Hey, I always appreciate your time. Good luck today in that preseason game, because what December 1st is your first actual game. So
there's December 21st is our first game. And we're like, what's that, 3 months away?
Yeah, so I'm sure today's game has got a lot of relevance for that one. Is Quaidi playing, and is Israel Folau playing before we go, actually? Because you're playing against Israel's club, aren't you?
I don't know their team yet. So Quaid's not playing. He's just nursing himself through. He's a real professional. He knows what's going on. He always tells me, Mick Jagger never goes to sound check, which means he only turns up for the games.
Oh, unreal. Love the veterans. Love the old Bulls.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, absolutely. All the best, Kev. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, mate.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Hey, big shout out to our Professor Paulo. For all our new listeners, this is where Professor Paulo will send us a question every week. Me and Sammy, we have to try and guess the answer. We keep a score, and the loser at the end of the season has to buy a fancy lunch. It says that Sammy is in the
14-12, brother.
14-12, so
yep.
Few more weeks to go in the season. Time for me to catch up.
Yep,
let's go.
Here we go.
As we see the Pacific Nations Cup final this weekend between Japan and Fiji, Fiji have won the tournament 6 times out of the last 10 years. Who have they beaten in the final the most times?
T. Australia A.
I'm going to go Samoa.
And from those 6 grand finals, 3 of those games were against the Manu Samoa.
There we go. Get me up to 15 points, brother.
Manu Samoa. Didn't know that they would.
Yeah, well, Australia A have been in that competition for a while, but like they floated in and out. So.
I'll be completely honest with you. I've never watched the Pacific Nations Cup in my life.
You're not supposed to admit that on air, mate. It's just...
Before this year.
Before this year. Sweet. Thank you.
Obviously. Like I watched it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Let's get to our knockout tipping comp where I am absolutely flying in this one at the other end, 42 to 31. So if you're hanging on my tips, please don't. This is where we choose a game out of the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds, and you can't pick them again.
Well, let's start with Fiji versus Japan in the Pacific Nations Cup Grand Final.
I'll let you do the honours because you watch it all the time. You go.
Well, I'm going to go with Totai Kefu. Japan will beat Fiji.
So, yeah, I'm going Fiji.
And we'll go NRLW, Raiders versus Titans. Seemed like an even match over the weekend.
There's a lot of Pacifica talent in both those teams. 20 all up in that one. So I feel like that's where we should be going. And I'm going to go the Titans to bounce back.
Beauty. I was like, beauty. I'm going Raiders because I did not want to go the Titans because they've been struggling.
They've been struggling. Surely they bounce back somewhere. All right, let's go over to NRL. I am going to go. Oh, yes. I've still got the Panthers and Storm up my sleeves. The Roosters. I feel like they're going to get the job done.
Roosters to beat the
Manly Seagulls. Yep.
All right.
I'm going to have the Roosters.
I'm going to go. Well, I'll save the Roosters for next week, hoping that they will win.
They'll go through. Okay.
Sorry, up, Cronulla. Sorry, Kao Iro. But Valentine Holmes is also Cook Island, so I'm going Cowboys.
All right, there it Cowboys is. Going to the Cowboys, the and hopefully I can get a couple of wins there. But that's our time up for Nijan Footy Friday. Remember, you can listen back to all our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Ofa lahi atu.
Aligatoa. Maybe. Monday.
All
let's
right,
go.
Sweet.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.